23 minutes after the hour, 5 o'clock here on KDOM. It is now time for your Coach's Corner program, where we talk with area coaches about how their season is going so far. Tonight, we're going to be talking with a couple of coaches whose season has wrapped up. We'll find out whose coaches or what teams those are in just a few moments right here on KDOM Windham, 1580 AM and 103.1 FM online at WindhamRadio.com.
Center. We don't have to meet by accident. Paint, body, collision, and class. We're repairing them to make them last. 831-4121.
The DeFreeze Collision Center of Windham.
Five Star Realty is the place to go. Call 832-8100. Five Star Realty is the place to go.
We're now joined on Coach's Corner by Coach Adam Farag of the Windham Eagle football program. And Coach, how are we doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's that time of the year. It's where the football season has come to an end, and we're talking a little bit about the seniors who are leaving. You guys are a relatively young squad, only 9 seniors this year. Can't be complaining about that much, or those numbers.
Yeah, I mean, as a whole, definitely, I think pretty good numbers, you know, especially, you know, with the coaching turnover that Windham's had, you know, in the recent history, you know, we, you know, had lost some guys, you know, due to just not wanting to go through another coaching change and for, you know, for whatever other reason, everybody's got their own reasons. But yeah, I mean, the amount of young guys that we have is really good. You know, I think we have a really good group of, you know, freshmen and sophomores. And then, you know, this year's eighth grade class coming up next year will be hopefully some good numbers as well. You know, there's some good bodies down there, some good guys that I think will, you know, we'll be able to produce here, you know, pretty soon. But a majority of our seniors were linemen.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as skill position wise, you know, we lose Abe at running back and Brian at tight end, but our base stuff in for what we want to do for the future, you know, we got our, you know, basic offense and defense in. Now I think we can really start to build on it and really, you know, get to progress a lot by next season.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about your seniors. They're going to be missed. And let's talk a little bit about that tight end that you were going to be losing, that he played not only the tight end, but he also played a defensive back. That's Brian Macario Rios. And I remember him from last season, and he performed pretty well this last game against Jackson. Tell us your thoughts on Brian Macario.
Yeah, Brian's a great guy. Brian, you know, he was so reliable for us. You know, I mean, as far as the receiving tight end, I mean, he had really good hands. You know, he's somebody that in a big situation where we needed 3 or 4 yards, we were going to call something where Brian gets the ball. You know, he's a great guy to have around too. He's a very positive guy. He's a guy that you love to have on the team. I mean, he's Mr. Reliable for us. You know, he stepped in a lot on defense. You know, he played quite a bit of safety this year. Yeah, he had that pick on first drive of the game against Jackson that kind of got us rolling offensively. But yeah, Brian was just so reliable, great guy to have around. Someone, you know, that we're really gonna miss a lot. You know, just again his presence, his discussions of how do we continue to get Brian the ball. You know, because he's great guy for us. He can make guys miss. A great guy to have, and yeah, we're definitely going to miss him next year.
All right, very good. Now let's move on to another player who I seem to be calling his name quite a bit during the games, and somebody who, from what I hear, has been a little bit of a conversationalist and maybe even a quote-unquote ring general, or let's call him a field general here, Mr. A. McKibben, your running back, your starting RB, and one of your defensive linemen.
Yeah, Abe is great. You know, he's another one of those guys that came such a long way from the start of the year. And that goes so much more than on the field. You know, off the field, I think that Abe's character grew so much. You know, he really just has been such a team guy for us. You know, he's been great with, you know, with getting guys going at practice. With, you know, willing to step into to certain drills that maybe the younger guys would normally do. You know, he really stepped up for us defensively, really about halfway through the season. He just kind of kicked it into gear. But yeah, he's a great power back too. Offensively, you know, he had a ton of broken tackles this year. I mean, we'd have plays that seemed like they were blown up right away, and then he comes running through a pile after breaking five tackles. And yeah, defensively at DN, you know, he's someone that I could really foresee playing DN at the next level. But again, you know, this was his first year playing DN, or really D-line at all. You know, he played outside backer last year, but, you know, he came up to me before the season and told me that he wanted to play DN, and, you know, we let him at it, and wow, just the strides he made for someone playing the position for the first time, and, you know, and getting the fundamentals down over the season, getting his responsibilities down. You know, he would come up to me after games and just be like, you know, I didn't realize, you know, how much fun this is to play defense. You know, he told me that, you know, he really didn't enjoy playing defense, but this year he just fell in love with it. But yeah, I can't put into words, you know, the contribution, you know, of Abe, and just how great he was to have around. And, you know, he's definitely someone that we as a program are definitely gonna miss, and, you know, just been a great guy for the program who just grew overall so much, like I said, not just as a football player, but really as a person too.
All right, now let's talk about a player who doesn't really seem to get a lot of recognition because he didn't seem to play all that often. Another senior on your squad, Nathan Evers. What can you tell us about Nate?
Yeah, Evers was another great guy to have around the program, to have the guys, you know, just have around. You know, he played some DB and receiver a little bit for us, and then he, you know, he would show up to practice just ready to go, ready to learn. He always wanted to get better, you know, and that started right away. Could tell right away that he just wanted to show up every day and get better, and that's something that I think he really did throughout the year, was that he continued to make strides. You know, he's another guy too that he just loves the game of football. Again, he's a great guy to have around. You know, his overall presence is definitely going to be missed, just because, you know, you love to have guys that truly just want to be there and truly love the game. And, you know, he's one of those guys that just loves the game of football, love being around the guys, and just love getting out there and getting better.
Yeah, it sounds like he was an overall learner. He always wanted to come and learn a new thing, and he was one of those types of kids that is just a dime a dozen, it seems like.
For sure, yeah. He loved being with the guys. You know, he loved being a part of the squad, and he was great to have on the team. You know, great guy to have around. You know, a guy who, like I said, wanted to learn, wanted to get better, and really, like I said, just wanted to be, you know, a part of the team and a part of what we're going to grow here.
All right. Now, let's move on to a guy who, for lack of a better words, is going to leave a big hole in your offensive line and defensive line. Not trying to, you know, poke fun at him or anything, but Nick Bottleberg, he was one of those guys that whenever you needed a hole to be plugged on a drive or a stop to be made, he seemed to be always one of those guys that was right there.
Yeah, Nick was great. Nick was one of our captains, along with Brian. I forgot to mention that, but yeah, Nick was really our biggest, if not one of, you know, our biggest leaders this year. You know, just play wise, you know, he came into the year and, you know, we were just gonna play him one way, just play him on D line, and then, you know, just have him, you know, just essentially be that guy on defense, be that nose. And then, you know, with some injuries and stuff that happened, we had him start going both ways. And, you know, he just became such a high snap count guy. You know, initially just play him on one side, you know, let him put everything into defense. But then, you know, week 5-6 came and he's playing both ways, and he did a great job. You know, he was a great offensive lineman. You know, he always knew his assignment. He got people moving. And, you know, he was such a huge part of our team this year. You know, again, on both sides of the ball. Defensively, yeah, I mean, he would take double teams. You know, he could not be beat by just one guy. You know, and that's a big thing that we preach is, you know, if you're going to get beat by somebody, you can't lose to just one guy. It's got to take a team to bring you down. He was somebody else too that always was getting better, always wanted to learn, you know, always wanted to do as much as he could to help us be successful, because, you know, if anything went wrong, you know, he wouldn't dare let let him be the reason that something went wrong, right. You know, because he was always going to do his job no matter what. And, you know, he's going to be missed big time. He, you know, his leadership, just what he brought as a whole from the leadership side and the playing side, you know, he'll be a tough guy to replace for sure. He was great for us. He was always willing to adjust to where we needed him to, you know, play what we needed him to. No questions asked, just yes, coach, you know, whatever you need. Yeah. And then again, he was such a big contributor for us too that, you know, he'll be missed in a lot of ways.
All right. Now let's talk about Owen Dana. What are your thoughts on Owen?
Yeah, Owen Dana, you know, he gets to bless the same jersey that I wore in high school, you know, that same number 54.
So it comes from good stock.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Owen was great for us too. Owen, again, he is one of those guys that was incredibly coachable. Very, very coachable. He's somebody else too that, you know, just from the beginning of the year to the end, just made such big strides, you know, especially on the defensive end, I think. You know, I think that at first he was a little bit raw, you know, at linebacker. But as the year went on, you know, he started to understand a lot more, you know, where he's supposed to look, you know, what his responsibility is, all this other stuff. He was a great guy. And he's also just a great personality guy. You know, he's one of those guys that just always kind of, you know, makes me chuckle. No, he's a great guy to have around the program. He, again, just the constant want to get better. And you know, it showed on the field. Like I said, the progression, I mean, it was very clear, you know, from the preseason scrimmages, week one, all the way through, you know, week eight and the playoff game. You know, he just consistently got better. And again, he had that desire to get better. You know, he's that kind of guy. And, you know, again, that him, he was a big part in just, you know, that this whole group of seniors just wants Wyndham to be good so bad, you know. And so if we can help them deeper understand the game, then obviously that benefits all of us. But yeah, Owen's great. You know, especially at the end of the year too, when we started going to more of a five-man front, he'd bounce back and forth between D tackle and middle linebacker. And being that he, you know, didn't play D tackle at all for us, you know, prior to that, well, there was one game I think he did, but you know, just asking your middle linebacker to come down and play D tackle, you know, can be a big ask. But you know, he did a great job of it. You know, he knew his gaps, he knew his responsibilities, and again, for not having much time to work on it, you know, he did his job really well. And again, he's someone that will be missed big time. You know, he's, like I said, just a great overall kid. You know, again, you know, I'm happy that it was him that got to rep the old 5-4.
Well, I mean, he did the jersey proud, I'm not going to lie.
Sure.
So, yeah, let's move on to another offensive and defensive lineman. Probably one of the shorter defensive linemen that you have on the senior squad, Jaden Peterson.
Yeah, Jaden pretty much played defense this year. Had to play a little bit of offense early on. But, yeah, he mainly played D-tackle. Yeah, Jaden was definitely a guy that would bring the fire. You know, he was a guy that would bring the energy, bring the, you know, just get the juice flowing too. But no, Jaden's great to have around. Again, he was a big energy guy, you know, big let's get going kind of guy, and really, like I said, just had that want to get better. You know, he didn't want to make a mistake, and you know, and he would ask questions. He would try to do everything he could to avoid, you know, being the guy that makes mistakes. And so, yeah, his personality too is definitely something we're going to miss. Jaden is, he's got a great personality.
Between him and, from what you've told me now, Nicholas and Abe, those three energizer bunnies, so to speak, they're going to probably be missed a lot because like you said, the energy level in your locker room just must have been insane with those three personalities.
For sure.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Monty Bjorklund, Montgomery.
Monty, man. Monty is a workhorse. He's kind of the definition of a workhorse. You know, you look at him, he's not the biggest guy, not the most physically imposing, but man, is this kid strong. You know, he did really well offensively. You know, he had to move from left guard to left tackle. But man, defensively, he made such a jump from week one until the end of the year. He was kind of like Abe, where partway through the year, he just, like, arrived. And, And I think it might have been that first game against Jackson in the regular seasons. And he just showed us everything. You know, he is quick, too. He is quick. He has good hands. He's a good tackler. He was great. He's a great football player, a great kid. Again, incredibly coachable. You know, we're so lucky to have this group of seniors to have that commonality between them was the being coachable and wanting to get better. But Monty was great. You know, again, the strides he made, like he did very well on offense, but especially on defense, what he was able to do and the changes he was able to make, just it was night and day from beginning of the year to the end of the year. Yeah. Or even to halfway through the year. But gosh, he was able to make such strides and, you know, just show us how good of a football player that he is. I don't know when he ever came off the field because he never got tired. You know, he never asked to come off the field. As the year went on, I'm like, hey, by the way, you're going to be on kickoff. Oh, hey, you're going to be on kick return. Oh, yeah, and punt return. You know,
you may as well just pick up a permanent residence on that field because you're not coming off.
And he never asked to come off, and he never looked tired. And that's not because he wasn't trying. It's because he just was such a workhorse that he didn't want to come off the field. And you can see it on the field that he never, you know, it wasn't like he would take a play off because he was tired. He's full bore 100% of the time, which, I mean, he's incredibly in shape. You know, he just, gosh, he only came off, like, if we needed to talk to him about something. But it was never, he looks tired, get him off the field. It was, geez, where is the second, third, fourth gear coming from? Yeah, he's someone that's going to be missed big time. Just the work, you know, just the, the hard hat mentality. That's Monty for you.
Yeah, and where is that third, fourth, fifth, sixth gear coming from, and how can we put it in the rest of the squad? So let's move on to Von Voverheg. And he seemed to be starting a lot for you guys this season, both on offense and on defense. So what can you tell us about him?
Yeah, so Vaughn didn't play last year, but he decided to come out this year, and I am so happy that he did. You know, he again is a great guy to have around in general. You know, he's somebody that wants to get better, that wants to understand the offense and defense, that just wants to play too. You know, unfortunately for Vaughn, he had gotten concussed about halfway through the season against Jackson, and then he really wasn't fully all the way back until the playoff game against Jackson. You know, he was able to play a decent amount against Pipestone, although it was a short week. But yeah, so unfortunately he had to miss some games. But you know, he started the year at left tackle, and then once he got hurt, we had just kept him on the defensive side after that. So he started the year at D end, and then we moved him in, played a little bit of tackle, you know, in our different front, and then ended the year playing nose. You know, he's very versatile. He could play all three positions well. I mean, he's a huge guy, and you know, it's someone that, you know, is not very easy to move. You know, for a big guy, he gets pretty good leverage. He's good at getting low. You know, he always showed up. You know, he was always ready to go. And you know, he's one of those guys too that'll just fire off some random joke, and you'll be like, "Did he just say that?" Like, he's a great guy to have around, a guy I'm definitely gonna miss. And you know, again, just so willing to do whatever it was that we needed. A great trait that, you know, I can only hope that the younger guys will learn from and really pick up on is just that, you know, it's a team sport. You know, there's no I in team, and so again, he was a great guy for those reasons. And again, someone that, you know, I wish that was a sophomore, but
yeah.
But again, definitely going to be missed, and just, you know, definitely has had a huge contribution to the team this year.
And for somebody who's just playing football his first year, I mean, he did phenomenal.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Again, yeah, he was just, he just wanted to be on the field. You know, he just wanted to be out there. He wanted to be able to do everything he could for the team. And you know, I think that he's happy that he came out this year, because I sure am.
Yeah. All right, last one here. Last but certainly not the least, Jose Rodas. What can you tell us about him?
Rody, yeah, he's a guy that just kind of brightens your day. You know, he also didn't play last year. You know, he decided to come out this year, and man, he, again, what, you know, not to be redundant, but you want to talk about somebody making strides, it was Rhodey. He started the year. He just played offense initially. He would sub in occasionally on defense, where needed. But he mainly wanted to play offense, and I felt that we had enough depth on defense to just let him play offense. But then as the year went along, I came up to him and I'm like, hey, how do you feel about playing defense? And he's like, honestly, I've been thinking about that for a little while now. I was thinking the same thing. And I'm like, sweet, let's do it. And, he did it, and he did well. He made some big plays there, towards the end of the year on defense. Again, hard guy to block. He's a big guy, and he moves well for his size. He was a hard worker, showed up to everything, showed up on time, always did the right thing. And again, I can't speak enough on his personality. He just always brightened my day, and I know that Coach Steen coaches the offensive line, would brighten his day and stuff too. But yeah, Rhodey's a great guy to have around, and yeah, the progress that he made too, man. I mean, even and a big part of that too is just the endurance aspect of it, or stamina. Early on in the year, we had to work on just being able to play longer, play more. Especially that heater game against Blue Earth.
Scorcher against Blue Earth.
Yeah. But, and then by the end of the year, he's playing both ways, almost every snap both ways, and, he's fine. He's not – I mean, he only asked us to come out when he, really couldn't go, which would happen rarely, very rarely. So he – and that just is the result of caring about it, putting in the work, and wanting to be better, as an individual and as a team. I think that he's one of those guys, too – that really understands that, that this group truly laid the foundation of what's going to come here in the future. I think they realize that, we have a young staff. We're not going to rest until, the change that we see in the program, or the change that we want to see, becomes reality. None of us would be doing it if we didn't think that we could get back to that spot where we've been at in the past going to state. And so, again, just coming back to Rhodey, to Jose, just a great guy to have, and just someone that, I'm definitely going to miss. He just, again, just loved to be around him. He loved to be around the team, loved to be around the guys, just as a football player, just did so well and got so much better throughout the year. And again, that's just the result of him wanting to put in the work and the time, and, him wanting to get better, and he sure did that.
All right. Well, Coach, like we mentioned, you guys got a pretty young team. 9 seniors are leaving, and you seem to praise them, which is a good thing. I mean, from what I saw on the field throughout this entire year, they exemplified everything that you had said on the field, and I think it also comes back to really good coaching as well. So you did a phenomenal job this year in your first year as head coach, so I want to say congratulations to you again. And like we said, 8 juniors, 8 sophomores, 15 freshmen. So you guys have a lot of great talent coming up on the ranks.
For sure. And you mentioned the point about coaching. I think that one of the biggest, kind of mistakes that I had this year, throughout talking with you throughout the year and everything else, is that I haven't given nearly enough props to the rest of the coaches that I should have. Those guys, man, the time they put in, and individually with each position group, the work that they did. I mean, again, going back from the scrimmage, week one, that stuff to the end of the year. I mean, again, the work that those guys did was phenomenal. And Wyatt and Ryan, the strides that those two made with those guys. And then, there's nobody that I would take over this group that I have, especially, at that position on offense and defense. I mean, our receivers, we're so lucky to have those two guys, guys I've known for a long time, have them coaching that group, those groups. I mean, the work that they've done was just amazing. And then, you move down, positionally to Devin, just put in so much work this year. And especially because, linebackers is kind of new to him. Devin played quite a bit of different positions, between high school and college. And linebacker really wasn't one of them, but I mean, he was just constantly learning, constantly evolving at his craft and doing what needed to be done. And you know, I see how it can be kind of hard when you look at, you know, the score, box score, stuff like that. But, you know, looking at the film and just watching them play, the difference that that linebacker core made from the beginning to the end of the year was just unbelievable. You know, such a big part of that is due, you know, is due to Devin just, you know, putting in the work and constantly wanting these guys to get better. So those guys have been great. And then one more coach, Coach Steam, Zach, you know, he got to work with the O-line. But, man, again, that's kind of the same thing with the receivers of, you know, you take an O-line that's so used to run blocking, you know, 80 times a game, and now they're pass blocking 50 times. So, you know, being able to make that change, and having Coach Steen as, you know, as a guy that played, you know, played O-line for Wyndham, you know, he played O-line, you know, in Morris where him and I, you know, played football together. But he put in so much work with them. He was able to change their mentality of how physical we need to play football. You know, the work that Zach put in was it was unbelievable. I mean, the change that he made, and I'm so excited. You know, I'm excited with all these guys, but with Zach especially, you know, I know that he can't wait to get these younger O-linemen developed. With all four of those coaches, the differences in their position groups from the beginning of the year to the end, again, I can't give those guys enough credit for what they did. I mean, without them, you know, I mean, we wouldn't be a football team.
Right.
You know, we wouldn't be able to do anything. And again, I'm so beyond blessed to have four guys that I've known for so long, that I've been friends with, you know, for so long, and guys that I truly, you know, that I truly respect who they are. And, you know, the best part about that too is that, you know, we're never afraid to say anything to each other. You know, I mean, this is obviously a learning process for all of us.
Yeah.
And you know, the nice thing is, you know, having four good friends to, you know, to keep you in check and you know, and to be able to help you grow as a coach, as well as, you know, being able to help them as well. But yeah, those guys are just, you know, the fact that these guys, you know, spend their weekends, you know, instead of, you know, being with their families as much, you know, they'll be spending a lot of time over, you know, at my place so that we can just get ready to go for the next game. So again, I cannot put into words enough the amount of work those guys put in and how much they mean to me and how much they mean to the program. Because again, those guys really are going to be such a big foundation too in what we end up building here, you know, over the next several years.
All right. Well, Coach Farag, we want to say thank you for joining us this season, all season long in the pregame shows. And we look forward to what you guys have coming down the pipe next year.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate all the time you've put in as well.
Yeah, thank you. That was Coach Adam Farag on Coach's Corner. And we'll continue on.
And Coach Farag also wanted us to pass along a big thank you that he had for his managers, Eric and Kian. We want to say a big thank you to all the work that you guys put in this season as well. We'll continue on Coach's Corner right after this.
The reputation of quality. 8301353. Call Ron's Electric today.
Welcome back to the Coach's Show here on KDOM Radio. I've got Coach Tim Kirk of Mountain Lake area. Coach, a big win over Edgerton, 45-36 in the second round of the playoffs, the Section 3 nine-man semifinals. And, you know, this game really had everything. It was back and forth, you know, a lot of adversity throughout the game. You know, some guys making some mistakes, but coming back in big situations and making plays, and really kind of felt like everything kind of came full circle in one game itself. You guys were able to pick up the win there, 45-36, and are moving on to a familiar spot, which is the section championship.
Yeah, we came out. It's always fun having a game on a Saturday afternoon, especially when it's at your home field. And Edgerton's improved since the last time we played them, so have we. And they're absolutely probably one of the most physical teams we've seen this year for sure. And we didn't think it'd be a shootout like that, but we felt, you know, we're going to have to try to stay with them, maybe get a lead, maybe force them to pass. And to credit to them, they had a ton of yards, and they physically outplayed us. But we weathered the storm, answered with some, got our passing game going, which was huge. It probably allowed us to win. Couldn't run much, and credit them, they took away, they loaded up the box, and we'll be able to make some big passing plays for touchdowns, and just kind of weathered the storm because we were physically getting beat, We're taking, you know, bad angles coming up field, giving them an advantage with their kick-out blocks and angle blocks and stuff. They kind of do with their double wing cut stuff. And, you know, they're a very good team. And it's just one of those things. We weathered the storm, made some big plays when you needed to. And I think the real big thing is being tied at halftime. And, you know, we're playing okay. They're out. Their physicality was better than ours. And like I told the guys, you just have to weather the storm. You have to, you know, suck it up. We got, you know, guys banged up, which every team does at this point. But come out in the second half, we got the kickoff, which, you know, normally if we win the toss, we usually take the ball. But we got the kickoff in the second half, and Peyton Banks, you know, bobbles the ball a little bit. And we get a middle seam, and I think we had two or three just great blocks, and that's all it took. And Peyton Banks, you know, went in for the touchdown to give us the lead, but they came back. They weren't going to die. And it all came down back and forth. And, you know, we had a big touchdown, I think it was the fourth quarter. You know, and then we had a two-point conversion. And then they got a touchdown again. We kind of gave up a little coverage, and credit them on some strategy. You know, we're up 1 point at the time, and we have the ball, I think, a little over a minute to go. And you know, we called a timeout. We said, oh, use the first down, and the game's over. And we didn't specifically say, you know, don't score, and credit to Coach Fleischman and his staff. You know, we got the ball, and Evan Carson took off, and most of his coaches are screaming, go down, and then he took it to the house. So obviously then we're up 7. Good strategy by Edgerton, and then obviously at that point we had to score the two-point conversion. And Jake Evers just gutted it out. We ran a little man-to-man on a crossing or something on the backfield, and nothing was there, and he built the pylon to go up by 9, and that kind of sealed it. But, you know, I've been coaching quite a while and been in a lot of big games, and that was an interesting game. I think as a fan and as anybody watching, it had been exciting, but as coaches, it was probably pretty gut-wrenching. But, you know, our kids now have played against probably one of the most physical teams we're going to see. And then obviously coming up with Red Rock, they're probably right there too. So we got a taste for it. We definitely have to get better. We're working on stuff this week. But, you know, go show. We have a lot of new kids, young kids this year, and they just bought in. And very proud of them, but I'm just also telling them, don't be satisfied. Don't be satisfied until we play our best game of the year. And we didn't do that against Edgerton, but we played well, and we weathered the storm, and now we're hoping somehow when we go to Marshall on Friday against a very good Red Rock team, that we play our best game. We're probably going to have to, and then obviously can't turn the ball over, but we're probably play one of our best games to win. I think we can do it, but we just have to practice and do things, you know, better than we have in the last couple games, because we're playing well, we're doing good things, but we just have to use a little more technique things, because you know, and the kids are hungry. We got pretty much pounded week one against a very good Red Rock team, and they were a little more experienced, had a game under their belt, but kids are ready, and it's just going to be one of those games that you know, hopefully stays close, and again, it probably might come down the fourth quarter, but we definitely have to do things better and not turn the ball over.
Absolutely, Coach. You know, you mentioned the Red Rock Central matchup that you had earlier in this season, and now things kind of come in full circle, first game of the year, and now section championship against the Falcons. And, you know, you guys do have a young team that, you know, doesn't have a whole lot of experience playing at SMSU Marshall, but they do have a little bit of an experience of getting there, you know, dealing with the atmosphere a little bit, even if it was on the sidelines, you know, getting up and trying to get ready for an 11 a.m. game. So, you know, I'm sure that's nice to have that sort of experience, the outside, you know, noise, I guess, to have that experience. But some other things headed in, you know, you talked about not turning the ball over, but are there any other, you know, keys to the game headed into the section championship that maybe is different from just a normal playoff game?
Yeah, the kids just have, like you said, a lot of kids haven't stepped on the turf, but they've been there, some of them a couple times, as far as playing there. So they know how the routine goes. We'll get up early. We'll have a light breakfast or whatever. We'll get there. We'll probably go to their practice field. We'll go into their locker room at the practice field. We'll get some practice on their nice turf practice field. So kids have been through their routine, so hopefully that don't flood or cloud their mind. And they know what it's like warming up on turf, getting used to it. It's going to be cold, which, you know, after yesterday being, I think, close to 80, we're talking about that. You know, those first few hits are going to sting a little bit. And, a few of these kids, we've already played in cold this year. We practice in it. It's just trying to get their minds cleared so they can go out and play and just, you know, get after it. And they've been in that atmosphere. It's weird. You know, you don't have the full house crowd, but you got plenty of people there. And it's pretty loud down on the field, and especially if for some reason there would be a win like last year. It's virtually impossible to hear the coaches yelling, so we got to work on communicating across the field, little things like that that we have a, you know, idea of how to do. But bottom line is kids are going to have to communicate when they're on the field and work through all that because, you know, it's a pretty big deal that kids get to play on a, you know, a college field. And we talked about it every year, even, you know, years ago when we didn't make it to, you know, turf. Once you get there, guys, it's pretty special. And they're getting kind of used to it, but we got to clear the mind, and we just have to come out and, somehow the best we can. We're not going to be as physical as them throughout the game. They've got very good athletes. We got some athletes. We're hoping our team speed helps, and they have team speed, so they match up real well against us, and we just have to overcome things. It's not going to be, although I didn't think last week, it's not going to be a 40-some to 30-some game, I don't think. But weather the storm, and the big thing is come out strong, because obviously I've noticed for many, many years, regardless of which teams we've had, when we score, if we can score first, it just adds a little more confidence. I think that's, you know, every team. But don't turn the ball over. Try to score first. Weather the storm, because they're definitely going to be more physical. And if things go bad, we just start all over. And I think we've been battle-tested now, which is kind of the big thing about this year's team, is now that we've won some games, you got to get battle-tested, because a couple years back when we had some great talent, we didn't have a whole lot of battle testing. This year we've got it. So there's no excuses. We're going to come out and play. You know, kids are banged up. I don't know if we're going to get anybody back, but we got the guys to get out there and play. This is your time, and enjoy it and try to do the best you can. I told the kids yesterday, play your best game, and if the scoreboard says we don't win, then that's just the way it is. But I'd like to see these kids play their best game. And all respect to Red Rock, they're on paper, honestly, talent-wise, physicality, all they're probably better than us, and obviously they beat us week one, but that's quite a while ago, and I think both teams improved, and hopefully we come out and play our best game. Last year, I think in the section final, the second half, we just things just didn't go right, and we lost a little, a mental edge, and it just didn't go right. That's a bad taste for a lot of these kids, a few of the kids that did play, and as a coaching staff, we just want to come out and have a good game.
All right, perfect, Coach. Well, we're looking forward to that matchup on Friday. Appreciate you taking the time, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
All right, thanks, Zach. Appreciate it.
And we'll be back with more here on the Coach's Show on KDOM Radio.
When you choose United Prairie Bank, you'll find a true local, family-owned community bank. Personal service, rewarding checking, and other incentives that are waiting for you at United Prairie Bank. We'll help you get there, member FDIC.
You're in tune to KDOM Windham 1580 AM and 103.1 FM online at WindhamRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Coach's Show here on KDOM Radio. I've got Coach Carter Ross of Westbrook Walnut Grove Football. Coach, a roller coaster of a season to say the least. You know, excitement in that first game in week zero, coming up just to play short and, you know, playing good football throughout the year, getting a win towards the end of the season there. And, you know, the seniors on this squad were a huge part of it. You got six of them, and, you know, a good chunk of them played a lot of minutes this year.
Yeah, you know what? We had that was kind of the yin and the yang of the team. We had some we did have a good group of seniors to balance out the number of freshmen we had to play. And, you know, what a great bunch. We had three new players. Colton Carter was one. He hadn't played since eighth grade. He came back and played some O-line and D-line for us and did a good job on both sides of the ball. It's just nice to have some, you know, you can't manufacture senior bodies, and you need that senior leadership, and you need that senior toughness out there, and he provided that for us, and that was nice for him to come back. Kind of in that same boat was Luke DeSmith. He's a track guy. He came back, played some cornerback for us. I think he ended up with 44 tackles on the season. Really got into a groove. You know, playing in the secondary and wide receiver, you know, and you haven't done it for 4 years, it's not easy. And as the season went on, he got better and better, and I think he ended up with, you know, somewhere around 18 catches. He got in the end zone a couple times. So Luke coming back was definitely beneficial for us. Elijah Merrick was a player that he played. You know, he's the last of brothers in a family, and that's kind of a theme for our last couple guys here. He's had three ACL surgeries, so we didn't even think he would come back out. Didn't expect him to. In fact, probably tried to talk him out of it, but he wanted to play. He's missed so much time, and he came back, and he did what we needed him to do. He played some center, he played some guard, he played some fullback. We split him out a couple times, so he really added to our team concept on offense and on defense. He led our team in sacks, and he was up there in tackles, so very nice. And he walked off the field at the end of the year. That was a plus for everybody involved. So Elijah Merrick was another senior. Dan Cleven, another brother, the fourth brother in line, coming to an end for that family as well. He had a great year. He led our team in tackles. He had 111 tackles. He had 58 catches on the season, and he was our leading touchdown scorer with 8. So Dan had a great season. Brady Ross is another one. He's our, you know, he was a 4-year starter at quarterback. Had some up and down times during his career, but ended up, you know, this year he completed 63% of his passes, and threw for over 1,700 yards on the season, and went over 5,000 for his career, which is a pretty good career to have playing quarterback. And finally, our last senior was Cole Curry. Probably, I've done this game for 26 years, and probably one of the most electric players I've had the pleasure of coaching. He ended up the season with 90 catches. We run a lot of jet sweeps that we pitch it, but that's what he could take that to the house at any time. His speed was unmatched. He had 5 returns for touchdowns. Just incredible athletes. So those are our 6 seniors. They all contributed. They're all going to be dearly missed. On both sides of the ball, and just their leadership. I made them all captains. We didn't even vote. I just knew this group of kids have been together. They've been playing since they've been in third grade, and it was just neat to see. It made the season a lot of fun.
Absolutely, Coach. You know, these are a senior group, like you said, that were a big part of the program and are going to be missed. But you, like you said, you had a nice little combination of seniors and freshmen and some young guys who, you know, had some promise this year and you know, looking forward to next year and the years to come. You know, they have some talent and now have some experience, you know, playing some varsity football.
Right. I mean, that's just the... If you're in this long enough, you hit that stretch, and most teams in our district go through that. You look at Edgerton; they have, you know, the same thing type of team where you have to play a lot of kids. And it used to be where you had a freshman team. You know, 15 years ago, we'd have a JV and a freshman team. Well, now we don't have either one of those two. You know, we're plugging kids in if they're physically able to compete, and then they just learn on the go. And there were a lot of lessons learned on Friday nights for some of those younger kids, but that's how you get better. You know, you get better by taking on big running backs and going through stuff and making mistakes. And, you know, and we did a lot of good things too. We had a couple freshmen have, you know, interceptions the last couple weeks of the season. So came a long ways. We will go into next year with the cupboard's not empty. The seniors are going to create a big hole, like we said, but we do have some experience coming back.
Perfect, Coach. Well, we appreciate you taking the time all season long here to talk with us on the Coach's Show for Wednesday nights. Again, we appreciate you taking the time and look forward to seeing what the Westbrook Walnut Grove Chargers look like next year. And again, appreciate the time, Coach.
All right, thanks, Zach. Appreciate your effort as well. Thanks.
You betcha. And we'll be back with more here on the Coach's Show on KDOM Radio.
Lampert Lumber of Windham supplies top quality lumber, tools, and hardware supplies for homeowners and contractors. The staff at Lampert Lumber is always happy to advise customers on the right products for their needs. Visit Lampert Lumber of Windham for all your new construction and remodeling projects.
Welcome back to the Coach's Show here on KDOM Radio. I've got Coach Jenegas of Red Rock Central Football. Coach, you guys moving on as you guys were able to get the big win against Hills Beaver Creek in round two of the section playoffs. Can you talk a little bit about the matchup? It was a low-scoring affair. You guys able to get the win 14-6. Just a hard-fought game over there in Hills.
Yeah, you know, I thought our kids did a really good job of being physical up front and moving bodies and gang tackling, you know, getting multiple hats to the ball, which we didn't do against them the first time. I thought for about, you know, the third week in a row, defensively we executed the game plan very well. You know, we had a couple of guys step up their game. Tyler Turkelson in the last couple of games against the pass has been very well, or has covered very well. He's gotten out of his breaks. He's deflected four or five passes in that time. He's made the tackles immediately. Like, he's done a really good job. Blake Taplow in the middle was an unstoppable force, sometimes taking on doubles and triples and still holding his own, which kept Vander free, right? And then Vander, you know, cleaned up the mess just about on every play. So, defensively, we were very solid, very sound in everything that we did. There's just the one lapse in coverage that allowed them to get the touchdown towards the end of the second quarter. You know, but other than that, they set the tone right along with the offensive line early that we were going to be the more physical team, and you know, we carried it out for four quarters. And you know, that at this time of the year, if you can string that and put those two things together, you're probably going to have a really good chance to win.
Absolutely, Coach. You guys able to take down Hills Beaver Creek and set up a matchup we haven't seen in the section championship in a while. The last couple of years, it seems like it's always been Mountain Lake and Hills, but you guys able to take down Hills and now have the Wolverines for the second time this season. First time, obviously, was their first game of the year, so you know things are going to be differently. But on paper, you guys match up pretty well against the Wolverines. There's a lot of factors headed into it. Not only is it the section championship, but it's also all the way up there in Marshall, 11:30 game. A lot of variables headed into this championship game. What are some things that you're keying in on headed into Friday?
You know, I think as a coaching staff, you got to convince the kids that it's just another game. Right, you have to keep them focused on the job at hand. We can't look past Friday. You know, that is it. That's a one game season, right? If you win, you get to play another one game season, right? If you lose, you get to turn in your gear on Monday or Tuesday, and for some guys, call it a career. We have to make sure that we approach it that way, right? Familiar opponent. Right. This will be our fourth game. Right. I think that you can't put a whole lot of stock in, like you said, in the things that happened in week one for them and week two for us. You know, you have to approach it like it's an opponent that you haven't played in 2 months because you haven't. Right. Like I said, a lot of things, right? The 11:30 start is something that most high school kids aren't used to, right? Most of them aren't hardly awake at that point, right? So we're going to have to make sure that we get them up and out of bed at a decent time to get their body going and be awake, right, when you get there. So a lot of things you got to play into and factor into it. And one of them, some people don't think this is a big factor, but I look at it from the standpoint, this is their sixth year in a row in the section final, right? I mean, it's old hat for them to show up and get to play in the big stadium in Marshall and have that experience, right? Something brand new for our kids. None of these kids were on the roster the last time we were able to make it to the section final. So, you know, it's going to be a new experience. We can't get, you know, caught in the ostrich of the spot, right? We just got to show up, and once the whistle blows and the ball's kicked for the first time, you got to focus on what your job is and know that it's going to be a battle, right? There's no blowouts at this time of the year. You know, that was the thing that we tried to focus on so far last week and then going into this week, is that it's going to be a dogfight. There's going to be ups and downs, right? You just got to be able to weather the storm. Teams are playing at this time of the year because they do things well. And, you know, you have to take the good with the bad, right? It's a 48-minute football game, and you know, hope that you make enough plays to win the game.
All right, Coach. Well, we're looking forward to a battle on Friday. We appreciate you taking the time here on the Coach's Show, as always, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
All right, Zach. Thanks, man.
And we'll be back with more here on the Coach's Show on KDOM Radio.
Thrivent Financial wishes the Windham Eagles the best of luck. I'm Justin Espenson, your local financial professional. If you're interested in putting plans that align with your values into action, please call me at 877-408-4748.
Welcome back to the Coach's Show here on KDOM Radio. I've got Coach Curry of Heron Lake Okabena, Fulda. Coach, the Coyotes this year, a little bit of a struggle year for you guys. You knew it was going to be a bit of a rebuilding year. Really just playing better football every single time you stepped out on the field, and I know that was one of your goals this year. And you got three seniors on the roster who, you know, were I'm sure a key part of this program. Can you talk just a little bit about what they've meant to the Coyotes?
Yeah, three seniors in Rylan Klein, Gavin Leedy, and Aiden Lang, and all of them, they're great kids, and they did everything we asked of them, and they all played key parts. Rylan was a guy who he was in the trenches. He started as a junior and senior on the offensive line, really became a leader for the offensive line, and really as we played better at the end of the year, Rylan had a good deal to do with that, both leading the offensive line and certainly leading the defensive line. And I think part of the key to our play at the end was our defensive line really stepped up and started playing well, and he was a big leader in that. And so we're going to miss him and his leadership on both sides of the line. Gavin was a kid who came out as a freshman and got hurt, and he didn't come out as a sophomore, and we got him to come back out as a junior and ended up starting for 2 years as a defensive back, and then I started this year as a receiver and really made great strides as a receiver this year, in addition to just providing a very steady, a good tackler out on the edge, somebody who we're going to miss on that side of the ball, and certainly a big play option at receiver as well, really good speed. And then Aiden was kind of, he was our utility guy. We could put him in a lot of different places, and in defense he was very versatile. And he was a kid who, he ended up seeing some less reps as the season went on, and he's exactly the kid you want in the program because he never complained. He never said anything. He just did what was best for the team. And if that meant not starting in a position, that meant not starting or moving positions, that meant moving. And you know, as coaches, that's so valuable to have a kid who puts the team first. And I was glad that I was really happy in our last game he scored a touchdown. It was his first touchdown of the year. And I was really happy that he was able to get a touchdown because he had done so much for this team and really been one of our best leaders. So three just really great kids who we really loved having on the team.
Absolutely, Coach. And, you know, you mentioned towards the end of the year that you wished, there's just a few more games to try to get that one game and that one win to really put everything together. Like I said, team was kind of, you know, getting better and better as the year goes on, and that's something that you want to see from a young group. But, you know, because it's a young group, that means you got a lot of your, you know, key guys coming back next year. And it's I'm sure, you know, excitement is high to, you know, you'd like to just get right back out there and play with this momentum that you have going. But what are some things that you're excited about for next year and this young group, you know, trying to get back and get some wins next year?
Well, I'm excited because they're excited. And, you know, you're never sure how – you have a season that's a struggle. You're never sure how that's going to go at the end of the year. But our kids played so well, and I think they started to finally believe in themselves and realize that we're not that far away. And they looked at the way the playoffs have gone, and, you know, all four – both semifinal games were really close, and us playing with Mount Lake, I think they realized we have the ability to be in this. Maybe we're a little bit undersized, maybe we're a little underexperienced, but we have the ability to be in this. And I think going forward, that's very exciting. And in meeting with the kids this week as a team and then as individually, a lot of them said that, yeah, we didn't do what we wanted to this year, but we feel like next year we have a chance to be the team that makes that jump. And so having that enthusiasm, like you said, I wish we could just go right now. And I think that's something to look forward to. And it is different, last year looking at, going into season previews and looking at, we lost everyone who ran the ball, basically everyone who caught the ball, everyone who threw the ball, and every tackler. And this year it's like, well, our leading tackler's back. We have most of our line coming back. We have our quarterback is back, our leading rusher is back, our leading receiver is back, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, that's a little different feel to going into next season when you do have some things written in pen or dark pencil as opposed to last year where it was mostly written in light pencil. So that is exciting too, and I think going forward our kids know that they're close, and now we just got to finish the deal.
Absolutely, Coach. Well, we appreciate you taking the time every week to come on the Coach's Show. Look forward to seeing the Coyotes improvement next year, and look forward to covering you guys next year as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Zach. Much appreciated.
You betcha. And we'll be back with more here on the Coach's Show on KDOM Radio.
Crystal Windshield Repair LLC is ready to answer the call. Braemar Powers will work with your insurance company and will come to your location and do the work. Make the call 831-3644. Crystal Windshield Repair, LLC of Wyndham.
Now joined by Coach Crystal Fast of the Wyndham Eagle Volleyball Program. And Coach, how are we doing today?
Hey, we're still playing volleyball in November, so we're happy.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You guys are really killing it right now. You beat your last two opponents, and last night you guys played Montevideo, a team that you had not played or had seen in all season, and you guys held them off to a 3-0 victory. So what were your takeaways from last night's matchup?
I got to give hats off to my girls. They all came focused with great energy. You know, we really talked about the controllables and what we can control, and those things are our focus, our energy, and our attitude, our effort. And they blew me away by that. I'm just hats off to my girls for, sticking to the game plan and controlling those things and cutting back on our errors and playing some great volleyball in a really fun atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to be at home. It's the home court advantage. But tomorrow you guys are going to be on the road at Worthington. And you're going to be playing a game against Pipestone, a team who you faced off against early in the season. And Pipestone came out ahead on that one. So what are your thoughts about the game against Pipestone last time, and you're facing off again with them tomorrow?
You know, Pipestone's a darn good team. They got a great squad. They're Doug over there, or Dave, excuse me, does a really nice job. He's taking care of them. They're all seniors, so a lot of veteran players on that team. We went over there early September and got beat 3-0. Two out of those three sets were really close, being within 2 points. So, we know some things about them. They know some things about us. We're just really looking forward to an opportunity to play in the subsection final. I told the girls, if they come ready to play like they have the last two matches, it should be a heck of a ball game, and that's all I can ask.
All right, very good. And let's talk a little bit about last night, too. I mean, you guys, in the first set, you seem to be dominating quite a bit throughout the first couple of points there. You guys, if I remember right, you tied only once in that first set. And then in the second set, you tied at least three times. And then you went on a significant lead late in the second set. And then you tied only twice in the third. And then it was a little bit of a Montevideo third set, but you guys came back and obviously won that set and won the match. So what were your takeaways on the fact that the girls were tying and then they just came out and they dominated the rest of the sets?
I can only say what I know. We did really well, and the girls we served really well. We knew that Montevideo had a really good middle, and obviously we saw that last night. That number 11 in their middle, that Conan Coonan girl, whenever she gets the ball, it's heads up. It's get up, quick block, and defense, take your platform out. And we knew with her in the middle that we had to keep them out of system so she couldn't get in a groove. I know she kind of took over the match on Friday night down in Jackson, and we knew we couldn't let her do that. She's too good of a player. We had to honor that. We did a really, really, really good job of keeping them out of system so they couldn't get her the ball in the middle. And then when we got her in the back row, we knew it was important to keep her there. So we knew that we had to limit our errors when those three rotations when she was in the back row.
Yeah, and I was listening to myself back after the matchup, and I was kind of remembering and looking back on the match, and it seemed like the Coonan girl out of Montevideo was kind of like a mirror image of Tristan Mars on your squad. It seemed that whenever, say, for instance, Charlie Huska was at the net and setting it up, Tristan would just come out of nowhere, and that seemed to be the same situation with Coonan from Montevideo. So how do you stop something like that if Pipestone were to run that sort of similar play?
And they do, and Pipestone does. You know, the difference between Pipestone and Montevideo, I would say, is that they have more than one Coonan, as you would say. They've got, you know, they're solid. There isn't just one player that we know will take over a match. We know that they have multiple players that can take over a match. And that is because they have veteran players. And as I said, they're all seniors. They've been playing, you know, varsity volleyball here for a couple of years now. We know that we can, you know, focus on Pipestone and what they do and don't do well and all that. But what we know we need to do is we need to just keep doing what we're doing on our side of the net. You know, we're playing good volleyball right now, and this is the time that we need to be playing our best volleyball. And I'm just proud of the girls. And I just really hope that, you know, we can continue to play really well.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody is proud of the girls. They are playing a phenomenal game of volleyball. And, you know, hats off to you, too. I mean, they wouldn't be playing phenomenal volleyball without phenomenal coaching.
Well, thanks for that. I got, you know, I got great assistants on top of that that are helping me out big time and making, you know, I'm always looking at them for things. So it's not just me. It's a whole team effort. It's from the, you know, from the bottom up, which is my junior high coaches also.
Yeah, and the fact that tomorrow night is the game, you guys only have tonight to either rest and recuperate or get back and practice some more to try to beat Pipestone. Which one are you guys going to do today?
Oh, we're back in the gym. Absolutely. There's okay. No rest.
No rest for the weary.
We're back in the gym, ready to go, and what we'll be tomorrow. Like I said, we'll control the controllables, and we're just happy to be playing volleyball on November 3rd.
All right, very good, Coach. Well, we won't keep you much longer. We'll let you go do what you got to do and get those girls ready for Pipestone tomorrow, and we'll talk with you after the matchup.
Sounds great. Thanks, Eric.
All right, thank you. That was Coach Crystal Fast of the Windham Eagle Volleyball Program. We'll continue on KDOM Sports right after this. That was Coach's Corner right here on KDOM Windham, 1580 AM and 103.1 FM, online at WindhamRadio.com. Taking a look at what we have on the airwaves for tomorrow night. We will have Windham Area Volleyball as they're getting ready to take on Pipestone. We'll have coverage of that beginning at around 6:40 tomorrow evening, and we'll have the first serve at 7 o'clock from Worthington. We want to thank all the coaches for joining us here once again on Coach's Corner, and we'll have another edition of Coach's Corner next week right here on KDOM.